You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully on today's episode, which is being dropped on the final day of March 2021, which is the final day before the beginning of the regular season. And we are doing our final MLB preview for 2021, where we're doing the National League West. This show is available on the radio.com app, and we're available wherever you get your shows. And you're staying at home during these interesting times, be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen. And Scott Cullen is going to be on this show giving his breakdown for every National League West show. His show is terrific. And if you've got a fantasy baseball team, by all means, follow his podcast. You could follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pods. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. So this is the final one of our previews. We're covering the entire National League West. Up first, friend of this show, he is following the defending World Series champs who have eyes on repeating. Jeff Snyder hosts Locked On Dodgers.
Hey there, this is Jeff Snyder, one of the hosts of Locked On Dodgers. My co-host Vince Zamperio and I are here to answer some of the questions you might have about the Dodgers going into the 2021 season. So let's get started. First question, what is the biggest storyline around the Dodgers going into the season? For me, it seems obvious the biggest storyline is, can the Dodgers become the first team in what seems like forever to repeat as World Series champions? They're the best team on paper going into the season. They are definitely the favorites to win the World Series, and they're my favorites to win the World Series too, because they're my favorites, and I like it when they win the World Series. So that's the big storyline, is can they repeat? So let's go to Vince for the second question.
Thanks, Jeff. I'm here to answer the question, who was the biggest offseason addition for your team, and how will they affect the team's on-field success? It doesn't really get any bigger than the reigning NL Cy Young, and that's who the Dodgers brought in on a three-year, $102 million deal, Trevor Bauer. His interesting, polarizing figure on social media, notwithstanding, Trevor Bauer is going to be a top three pitcher for the Dodgers, sliding in the two or three spot behind Clayton Kershaw in the regular season. Postseason may be a little bit different, which is where he probably will help the team the most. The Dodgers would have been fine without Bauer in their rotation for the regular season, but his postseason success and the ability to maybe push Kershaw to a number three position is going to help the Dodgers the most. And I still expect him to be a top 10 pitcher in the NL and maybe splitting some votes with Kershaw and Buehler for Cy Young this year.
All right, our third question is, what is the best case scenario and how will it be achieved? For the Dodgers, best case scenario is, it's almost, the ceiling is almost not even there for how good this team can be. The Dodgers won games at 116 win pace last year, and if anything, they should be better this year, because last year they did it with down years from both Cody Bellinger and Max Muncy, with no contributions at all from Gavin Lux, and with both Justin Turner and Mookie Betts not hitting against lefties. All five of those things realistically should be better this year. And oh yeah, they also signed Trevor Bauer, the reigning National League Cy Young Award winner, and another year of experience for Dustin May and Tony Gonsolin and Julio Urias, and David Price is back. So for as good as the Dodgers were last year, they should be better this year. And the way to achieve that is just for guys to just do what they can do. They don't need career years from anybody. They just need good, solid, you know, let's have an average Cody Bellinger year. Let's have an average Mookie Betts year. And if all these guys have their average years, they're going to be a great team, be the best team in baseball, and hopefully win the World Series again.
All right, next question is, what is the worst case scenario and how will it be achieved? And we can't say injuries. So when it comes to the Dodgers without injuries, I mean, I can't see the worst case scenario being anything less than a wild card spot. I guess it's very possible that the NL East plays up to its expectations and the Dodgers could fall out of contention for a wild card spot. I can't really see that, but worst case scenario, I'd say they do not make the playoffs. And how that happens is that Mookie Betts struggles, Cody Bellinger struggles, Max Muncy struggles, Clayton Kershaw struggles, Walker Buehler struggles, Trevor Bauer struggles, David Price is not good anymore, Dustin May and Tony Gonsolin get figured out by the rest of the league, and I don't know, Austin Barnes is their best hitter. I think that's probably the worst case scenario, and that's the only way they don't make a playoff spot.
All right, our fifth question is, who is one young player or prospect who stands a chance of becoming a household name by season's end? And for me, the answer is Will Smith. Will Smith is already a household name, but unfortunately, it's not the right Will Smith. And I honestly believe that by the end of 2021, Dodgers catcher Will Smith, it won't be the most famous Will Smith in the world unless the other Will Smith... I can't think of anything Will Smith, the actor, singer, superstar, could do. But Will Smith, the catcher, by the end of the year, I think he's going to be widely recognized as, if not the best, one of the two or three best catchers in baseball, and be a legitimate superstar by the end of the 2021 season. The dude can hit, and if they can figure out the little issues he has defensively, he is going to be one of the best catchers in baseball.
All right, final question for us is, your best predictions for how the season will end, win total, place in division standings, playoff advancement. Very easy for place in division standings, I believe. First place in the NL West, winning the Dodgers' ninth straight NL West title. Although the Padres got better this offseason, I don't expect them to be better than the Dodgers quite yet. Maybe in the coming years, but definitely not in 2021, unless my previous worst-case scenario happens or, God forbid, some injuries happen. When it comes to win total, I expect the Dodgers to win. I'm just going to go up there, and I'm going to say 110 wins. The Dodgers are really, really, really good. Their teams in their division, other than the Padres, aren't that good, so they should be able to win a lot of games in the NL West. And they're much better than any team in the NL Central, so they should win a lot of those games. NL East could go either way with some of those teams, but I still think overall the Dodgers are the best team in baseball. 110 wins wouldn't surprise me at all, and anything more than that also wouldn't surprise me at all. In terms of playoff advancement, getting the big monkey off their back and winning the World Series last year was obviously great. And I expect them to do it again. If everything goes the way it should, the Dodgers will be NL West champions, NL champions, and World Series champions. If even 90% of things go the way they should, they're at least NL West champions, NL champions, and in the World Series again. But I'm saying the Dodgers are going to win the World Series again, go back-to-back for the first time since the Yankees, and we get to finally have a real parade in Los Angeles. All right, that'll do it for us. We are Locked On Dodgers, Jeff Snyder and Vince Samperio. You can find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Locked On Dodgers. Or you can just subscribe to our podcast, Locked On Dodgers. Thanks.
If you're looking for value on the Los Angeles Dodgers roster, look for shortstop Corey Seager. He was National League Rookie of the Year in 2016, but his career was kind of going sideways until last season, when he had his best season before winning National League Championship Series and World Series MVP awards. Maybe he's not going to come as a bargain, but Seager has vaulted himself back up to be ranked among the top shortstops. On the other hand, keep an eye on starting pitcher Trevor Bauer. He might be great again in 2021, but the odds are stacked against him finishing with a 1.73 ERA and 0.80 whip in a full season, even if he's treating the ball like a fidget spinner.
If the Dodgers don't win this year, could be the Padres' turn. Who would be happy about that? That'd be Javier Reyes of Locked On Padres.
Greetings, everyone. It's season preview time, and I am Javier Reyes, your host of Locked On Padres. So let's talk about the Padres. You know, I tend to joke around sometimes, but the Padres, they are no joke this year at all, not even in the slightest. The biggest storyline heading into the season for them is probably just whether or not they can really compete at the high level with the Los Angeles Dodgers, who have basically owned the NL West forever, it feels like. And with the Padres' additions that they've made, with the breakout season that they had last year, we're going to be hoping that the Padres can remain the number one most exciting team in all of baseball, really. Now, a tougher question to answer, I must admit, is who was the biggest offseason addition for the team and how will they affect the team's on-field success? Well, I have to say it's hard to say because, as you all know, AJ Preller just declared war on the entire rest of the league by trading for Blake Snell, trading for Joe Musgrove, trading for Yu Darvish. signing Tatis to a 4-year extension. It could go, the list goes on and on, but I'd say that out of all of them, the biggest one is probably Yu Darvish, just because I'll give the edge to him, just because he has been really one of the, in the borderline S tier of starting pitchers in the last year and a half or so. Amazing repertoire of pitches, and he's just a fun guy to root for. And Blake Snell also has to be mentioned, though, in fairness. I'm going to cheat a little bit on this question and say that Blake Snell as well, because the addition of both of those ace quality pitchers means that the Padres, the potential injuries to Denelson Lamet, who's expected to miss a good amount of the season, and for Mike Clevinger, who's missing all of the season due to Tommy John surgery, helps make them still a contender and still one of the better rotations in all of baseball, and don't have to rely on someone like Chris Paddock making a huge comeback season or anything like that. And speaking of Chris Paddock, when it comes to what is the best case scenario for the Padres this season, how it could be achieved, a lot of it, in my opinion, has to do with whether or not Joe Musgrove and Chris Paddock can be those back of the rotation starters that are the most overqualified 4 and 5 type of starters in the entire league. Paddock was really bad last year. Fastball was just completely hittable. The changeup was still good, so we're hoping for a bounce back. And Joe Musgrove, ever since he started relying more on his curveball usage, has been really dominant, and there's a reason why people were looking at him at the trade deadline last year. But the other thing is also just going to be, you know, the Padres, did they perform over their head in a really shortened season last year with just 60 games? Can guys like Eric Hosmer and Will Myers, two players that have struggled mightily for the Padres and borderline liabilities in their lineup, can they replicate the success that they had last year? Is Will Myers legit? Is Eric Hosmer's launch angle type of discovery legit? That's what we're going to have to see in order to find out whether or not the Padres can really be in the upper echelon of teams in the league this year. Now, when it comes to worst case scenario for the Padres, it's a lot of things, thankfully. Unlike most Padres teams, there's a lot of things that would probably have to go wrong for it to be a truly dire and awful situation. And the biggest thing is that a lot of the players that broke out for them last year revert into being average borderline players, and guys like Tatis and Machado have to carry the offensive load. While I am excited for Mackenzie Gore, the top pitching prospect in baseball, to eventually make his debut, hopefully it's under the right circumstances and not because a lot of other guys are struggling and that, say, God forbid, Yu Darvish is aging and getting up there in age and isn't able to kind of keep up the pace that he's been showing this last year and a half. Can guys like Jerickson Profar be really valuable off the bench pieces? It's basically just as simple as that. Are the guys that broke out last year for the Padres legit? I am hoping that they definitely are. There's definitely reason to believe that, but that is the worst case scenario for sure. The young player or prospect on the Padres that I think is going to become a potential household name by the end of the season, well, it's not a fun one, it's not an exciting one, but I still think it's Mackenzie Gore, the best pitching prospect in baseball. I don't think that he's going to be on the opening day roster necessarily, but I do think, you know, potentially, and barring any sort of catastrophe on the injury side, I do think he's probably going to make his debut at some point later this year, assuming all goes well. He could become the household name and become a great starting pitcher, and definitely has ace quality stuff based on everything that I've heard and seen. But I also think everyone should keep their eye on Adrian Morejon of the Padres. I think he could find himself making a couple spot starts every now and then too, making the roster, and he's shown some strikeout stuff. His control isn't always great, but he is still just 22 years old, and when he had two last season, he came up big for the Padres, so I would expect some stuff out of him. And then lastly, you'd probably be Ha-Sung Kim. I know that I've said three names already, but still, Ha-Sung Kim, who could potentially, depending on how much he adapts to Major League pitching, he's got all the stuff. I've seen him being compared to Carlos Correa, Gene Segura, Trey Turner, those type of guys and their output. Last time I checked, those guys are all really good. So Ha-Sung Kim is the other one that could potentially have a breakout. I mean, that's what's so exciting. I just listed three people because I couldn't stand not naming three people. The Padres are built for now, yes, but they have some young, exciting new blood in that team to potentially take them to a whole nother level for years to come. My predictions for how the season will end, I'm going to be actually conservative this time. I change my mind. I go back and forth every day with a 93-94 type of season win total for the Padres this season. And I think that they're actually going to face the New York Mets at some point in the NLCS, not the Dodgers. I am not scared of those Dodgers right now. All these people talking all this nonsense. Oh, they made all these moves just so they could lose to the Dodgers. Well, get this, everybody. They're not even going to have to worry about the Dodgers because another team is going to take them out. And then we're going up against New York, who is another exciting team that I'd love to play against just because they're a lot of fun. And then they're going to face the White Sox of the World Series, everybody. Bottom line is this, though. The Padres are probably the most exciting team at all of baseball. I was really, really high on them heading into last year in the moves that they made. And this year, I'm staying with projections, believe it or not. I'm cautiously optimistic because, in fairness, it's not like the team has a storied history over the last 15 years or so. So cautious optimism is important, but there is reason to be excited because a lot more things than usual are going right for the Padres. And I'm not really used to saying that. Remember, guys, you can tune into Locked On Padres at @LO_Padres on Twitter, or follow me on Twitter, which is at Javipeno, JAVIIPENO. I can't flip and wait for Padres baseball, everybody. Let's go!
If you're looking for fantasy value on the San Diego Padres, consider center fielder Trent Grisham, who stepped into the center field role last season and had 10 home runs and 10 stolen bases, which would prorate to 27 and 27 in a full season. That already moves him into rare fantasy territory. On the other hand, beware with starting pitcher Chris Paddock, who was outstanding as a rookie in 2019 and then fell flat last season. With the Padres adding Yu Darvish, Blake Snell, and Joe Musgrove to their rotation, suddenly expectations can be much more modest for Paddock in 2021.
You know, we've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, incredibly tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate in all bars. And we are winding down to figure out which Built Bar is the best. It is indeed Built Bar Madness. We're down to a final four. Cookies and cream, cookie dough chunk, mint brownie, coconut brownie chunk. Vote for your favorite one. These are all so delicious. At this point, how can you go wrong? I still can't believe raspberry didn't make it out of the first round. Go to builtbar.com or go to bar_built on Twitter. Remember to use the promo code LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off your next order. That's LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar ever. You know, I want to talk a little bit about Locked On Today. You can get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with a Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Well, in honor of my dad, may he rest in peace, we're going to talk about the Giants. And Ben Kaspic of Locked On Giants has the reins.
I'm Ben Kaspic, the host of Locked On Giants. The biggest storyline entering the 2021 season for the San Francisco Giants is whether they can carry over the momentum that they had built up in the 2020 season. Last year, the offense kind of exploded under this new coaching staff. They ended up scoring the eighth most runs in all of baseball, and they were one of just six teams in the National League that scored more runs on the season than they allowed. And they were the only team to do that and not make the postseason. The Giants missed the playoffs by just one game. It was an expanded playoff field, but they got better in the offseason, so it's not unreasonable to expect that this team could take another step forward and perhaps even finish above 500 this year. But speaking of how they got better in the offseason, they made a ton of major league signings, the most of any team. And the biggest one was Tommy La Stella, a left-handed infielder who was signed to a three-year, $18.75 million contract. It's the first three-year deal handed out by this new front office. And La Stella just complements their offense really well. They are pretty right-handed at the positions that La Stella now is going to be able to play. He can play third, he can play second, where the Giants had Evan Longoria, Donovan Solano, and Wilmer Flores. So it's really nice to have that left-handed complement, especially maybe even at third, where Evan Longoria has struggled against right-handed pitching since he became a Giant. So expect La Stella to move around the diamond. He's a really unique player, really, really low strikeout rate, and actually walked more than twice as often as he struck out in 2020. And since he's become more or less a full-time player over the last couple of years, he's started hitting for more power as well. So expect him to hit at the top of the lineup, primarily against right-handed pitchers. We'll see if he's in there against lefties, but he'll get on base, hit for some power, be a scrappy at-bat every time, and he's going to be versatile and move around the diamond. The best case scenario for the San Francisco Giants in 2021 is to make it into the playoffs. It's going to be tough given that the playoff field is reducing back to five in the National League from eight in 2020. But the best case scenario is that they could make it, and it would be achieved by the offense just continuing to do what they did last year and just the pitching to be better. And there's reason to believe that the pitching is a lot better. There's been a lot of turnover. There's a ton of new faces, and many of them have legitimate upside, like Anthony DeSclafani, Aaron Sanchez, Alex Wood, who's currently injured, but figures to come back at some point. And then in the bullpen, there's been a lot of turnover. Sam Coonrod was traded, so was Sean Anderson, and Trevor Gott was DFA'd. So the bullpen, there's a lot of new faces. Jake McGee, who had a great year with the Dodgers in 2020. Matt Whistler, likewise with the Twins in 2020. Jose Alvarez, Reyes Marantes coming back. So there's reason to believe they could reach that best case scenario. The worst case scenario would be that the offense regresses in a major way and the pitching staff isn't improved. But if this team can't hit, the strength is the offense right now. So if they fall back to earth, which realistically I don't think that's going to happen in a major way, but if it did, they would be in a world of trouble because I don't think this pitching staff is anything close to elite. And so they would have a tough time making up the slack if the team can't hit. One young player or prospect who stands a chance of becoming a household name by season's end is Joey Bart. I know that he came up and struggled in 2020, but I do think he'll get another opportunity in 2021, and perhaps that failure and experience that he had at the major league level in 2020 will help him show what he's capable of in the 2021 season. Elliot Ramos is another name to watch, but we're just not sure if he's going to even debut this year for the Giants. He's had a stellar spring, and the outfield is really crowded. So he's someone to pay attention to, but I think Bart is the guy to watch as a potential contributor in 2021. So my best prediction about how the season will end for the Giants is that they're going to surprise some people. They're going to have an above 500 record. I don't think it's that crazy at all. They're actually 81-81 in their last 162 games, and that's with a far less talented roster over that span than the Giants have now. Kevin Gausman emerged as an ace-like pitcher for the Giants in 2020. He's back leading the top of that rotation that, as I said, has had a lot of changes, and those guys have upside right now. The offense was so good, and it looked legitimate to a large extent in 2020, and then they add a Tommy La Stella to that mix, and I think they get even better with that acquisition. So I say they surprise some people. They're competitive. They're in the wild card race, and I think they finish above 500 at 86-76. However, I think that that's unfortunately a little bit short of that second wild card spot, which will probably require 88 plus wins, maybe even 90 plus wins. But if that happens, it will be an encouraging season for the Giants. And then one major thing to watch out for, kind of the next major storyline, is that the Giants have a ton of players set to reach free agency at the end of the year, including veteran mainstays Buster Posey, Brandon Belt, and Brandon Crawford, in addition to guys like Donovan Solano and Kevin Gausman. So that's going to be a major story to follow going into the offseason and something to just keep in mind during the 2020 year as well.
If you're looking for fantasy value on the San Francisco Giants, consider left fielder Alex Dickerson. In two seasons with the Giants, Dickerson has 16 home runs while batting .294 with a .913 OPS in 341 plate appearances. Put that into the lineup for a full season, and the Giants could get another late career breakthrough like they got from Mike Yastrzemski last season. On the other hand, maybe be a little bit cautious about catcher Buster Posey, one time the top-hitting catcher in the game. Posey's productivity at the plate had started to slide even before he sat out the entire 2020 season. Maybe he rallies in 2021, but he's a mid-to-late-round sleeper at this point.
You know, the Diamondbacks are always weird. Every time you think they're going to be a non-contender, they turn around, they do something pretty good. Look at their entire history. They have a whole bunch of years where they made the playoffs and go, really? This team? Well, Miller Shane Thomas of Locked On Diamondbacks has something to say.
Miller Thomas here of the Locked On Diamondbacks podcast, bringing you your D-backs preview special. And I want to talk about the biggest storyline heading into next season, because I believe it's about Madison Bumgarner and how over the hill is this guy. We paid him 5 years, $85 million, and it was a backloaded contract. He's going to be making $23 million a season over the next 2 years. And last year, he just looked like a shell of himself. That fastball velocity was sitting in the upper 80s, around 88 miles per hour on average, a 6.48 ERA last year. And he didn't have one start where he completed six innings of work. Madison Bumgarner is going to need to turn back the clock a little bit this season. I'm not saying he has to be World Series MVP Madison Bumgarner, but he has to get that ERA in the low fours for the D-backs to have a chance at competing for a wild card spot this year. The biggest offseason addition for the D-backs, though, heading into next season has to be Joaquin Soria. The D-backs had a big hole in that closer role, with Archie Bradley being traded to the Reds and him, of course, not coming back to Arizona. So the D-backs had to figure out who was going to be their closer for next season. So they went out and signed Joaquin Soria, who is a veteran closer. He is a little bit older, 36 years old, going to be 37 years old, and he's still a pretty effective pitcher. Had a 2.82 ERA last season, 9.7 strikeouts per nine, and hopefully he can do it again for one more year, because this guy has over 200 saves in his major league career. The D-backs really struggled closing games last year, so Joaquin Soria can step up to the plate. The D-backs are going to be in prime position to close out some games in 2021. Best case scenario for this team in 2021 is that they get back to their 2019 version of themselves. In 2019, Ketel Marte, top five in MVP voting. Eduardo Escobar, 35 bombs, over 100 ribbies. Luke Weaver, a 2.94 ERA. Carson Kelly, 18 bombs. You got a lot of career seasons out of dudes in 2019, and then a lot of that kind of dissipated in 2020. So hopefully in 2021, the best case scenario for this team is you get those guys getting back to their 2019 versions of themselves. And then you also need a guy like Madison Bumgarner, who has been a great and effective pitcher in his career, to become that guy once again. Not saying he has to be an elite number one arm like he used to be, but he has to at least live up to his contract and be at least a number two or number three starter in this rotation. But the worst case scenario for this team is 2020 rolls over into 2021. The 2020 season was awful for the Arizona Diamondbacks. They couldn't hit and they couldn't pitch, which is pretty important for baseball. As we mentioned, Madison Bumgarner, he was awful in 2020, 6.48 ERA. Luke Weaver was another guy who, after coming off a really incredible 2019 season where he flashed a lot of potential, he didn't show it at all in 2020. Didn't have one start where he completed at least six innings, just like his partner, Madison Bumgarner. Ketel Marte, the power absolutely dissipated from him in 2020. Eduardo Escobar came into camp a little bit out of shape, and he had one of his most unproductive seasons in his major league career. Carson Kelly couldn't hit, couldn't get on base either. His power dissipated him, and just the overall D-backs lineup just wasn't that good in 2020. So if those guys end up playing again like how they did in 2020, in 2021, this D-backs team has no chance at competing, and they also need Joaquin Soria to finally lock down that closer role, because it was kind of a revolving door last year for the D-backs. We had Archie Bradley there, then he was traded. We tried Kevin Ginkle out, he didn't work. A couple of the other offseason signings from 2019, like Hector Rondon, Junior Guerrero, they didn't really work as a closer either. Stefan Kryan ended up being the closer to end the 2020 season, and he was pretty good, but the D-backs would rather see him as a middle back-end reliever, and hopefully Joaquin Soria can finally lock down that closer role. So worst-case scenario for this D-backs team is the 2020 season rolls over into the 2021 season. Now, who is the one young player who I think could become a household name by season's end? If you asked me before spring training, I think me and a lot of D-backs fans would have told you Dalton Varsho, a guy who gets you 20 bombs, 20 stolen bases. We've seen him do it in the minor leagues, but now, after watching some spring training games, I think I'm going to have to go with JB Berskakis. He came over from that Zach Greinke trade. He was absolutely dominant in spring training. Four innings pitched, nine strikeouts, no earned runs, no walks. He was an absolute stud in spring training. He's in the minor leagues right now. He'll probably start the season there, but if Joaquin Soria gets hurt or if he starts to falter in that closer role, I think JB Berskakis has a chance at taking over the closer role by the season's end. Now, my prediction for this D-backs team, I think they're going to win 83 games and finish in third place. I think they're going to be the same old D-backs. They're going to be pretty competitive throughout the season. I think they're going to be better than we actually might think. I think by the end of August, we're going to see them as a competitive team that has a chance at making the postseason as a wild card team if they could go on a good run in September. But as always, I think they're going to come up short, not go on that run, and just end up leaving us a little disappointed and leaving us wanting a little bit more. But considering all the pessimism after the 2020 season, I think 83 wins and third place would be a great finish for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
If you're looking for value in the Arizona Diamondbacks lineup, consider catcher outfielder Dalton Varsho, who struggled as a rookie, but could very reasonably deliver double-digit home runs and stolen bases this season, and with catcher eligibility, that can make Varsho much more valuable for fantasy purposes. On the other hand, maybe tread cautiously with Madison Bumgarner, starting pitcher who had the worst season of his career in 2020, a 6.48 ERA, 1.44 whip. But more concerning is he lost 3 miles per hour off his fastball. Unless he regains that velocity, it is hard to expect Bumgarner to bounce back.
You know, Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. You know, we've got Major League Baseball is right around the corner. We've still got basketball, college basketball, pro basketball, hockey. They're all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook expert. Promo code Locked On. The Locked On MLB Division Preview Series continues on Locked On MLB Today. Every episode from now to the 31st, which is today, features in-depth looks at each team in every division. It's on the Locked On MLB podcast feed right now. Follow Locked On MLB on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Well, the Rockies are a little bit of a mess from the top on down, but Ryan Latica, host of Locked On Rockies, may find a silver lining to their season.
This is Ryan Latica of the Locked On Rockies podcast, giving my contribution to the Locked On MLB Network's Division Preview Special. So let's jump right in here. The biggest storyline surrounding the Colorado Rockies in 2021 is what will happen with Trevor Story, the Rockies' current best player after the Arenado trade. Trevor Story is entering his last year under contract with Colorado, and there have been no indications by either side that an extension is near, or that Trevor Story is even interested in sticking around with the Rockies after the 2021 season. And as it was recently reported by John Heyman, the Rockies apparently don't even have the budget to work out an extension. So it appears that unless something changes, the Trevor Story's 2021 season will be his last in purple pinstripes. And along that same wavelength, Austin Gomber is the Rockies' biggest offseason acquisition. And Gomber is a guy he will always have the baggage of being the guy Nolan Arenado has traded for in a pretty awful deal for Colorado attached to him. But it doesn't change the fact that he was the Rockies' biggest offseason acquisition after the Rockies did not sign a major league free agent for the second consecutive offseason. Austin Gomber does figure to break camp with the Rockies in the rotation after a strong start to his spring training to this point, and rotation depth is something that Colorado really sorely needs. Now moving on to the best case scenario for the Rockies in the 2021 season, young players shine with extended playing time. And I'm talking about guys like former top prospect Brendan Rodgers, who just suffered a hamstring injury that figures to sideline him for at least a month. But in a 2021 season that promises to be bleak in the win-loss column for the Rockies, the best-case scenario is getting Brendan Rodgers back sooner rather than later and watching him take control of the second base job in his first period of extended playing time at the major league level. Ryan McMahon also fits into this category, as the Rockies will be looking for him to cut down his strikeout rate and take that next offensive step as he fills Arenado's shoes at third base to solidify what could be the next young core to lead the Rockies back to playoff contention. Now, moving on to what could be the worst case scenario is, in my opinion, the rotation could take a massive regression. Colorado's bullpen really has not been good for a few seasons, and it has looked anything but solid entering March's final week and a half. The Rockies have been able to hang their hats on the strength of the starting rotation, though, with Antonio Sensatella coming off a career year in 2020 and Kyle Freeland bouncing back from his disastrous 2019 season. Germán Márquez's strikeout rate has been steadily falling the last three seasons, though, and if the Rockies starters can't continue their recent success, it really does shape up to be a long and tough year in Denver for the Colorado Rockies. Now moving on, who is a young player who could be a household name by the end of the year? I'm going back to Brendan Rodgers. Yes, he just suffered an injury that should keep him on the shelf for a while, but the Rockies' former top prospect really has nothing left to prove in the minor leagues. I mean, he's slashed .296, .352, .503, that's average on base percentage and slugging percentage, with an .855 OPS in 387 career minor league games, and he most recently posted an OPS north of 1,000 in 2019 with the AAA Albuquerque Isotopes. So assuming he can return to full health sooner rather than later, it's imperative that he shows that same offensive potential at the major league level as well. So where do I think the Rockies will finish in 2021? To make a long story short, they will not be good this upcoming season. Their offense has been among the worst in Major League Baseball, even with Arenado and David Dahl, and neither are still with the team. So, I mean, I see the Rockies with a last place finish in the NL West in 2021 and a win total around the high 60s and possibly the low 70s. Again, I am Ryan Latica of the Locked On Rockies podcast. Thanks for listening.
If you're looking for value on the Colorado Rockies roster, consider first baseman CJ Krohn, who played just 13 games for Detroit last season, but he had legit 30 home run power even before he was acquired by the Rockies and will be playing half his games at Coors Field. On the other hand, is there a Rockies pitcher that you can trust? Maybe Germán Márquez, but who knows what you're getting from John Gray, Kyle Freeland, Antonio Sensatella? If you're going to spend a pick on any one of them, you're braver than I am at this point.
Thanks so much, Scott Cullen from Locked On Fantasy Baseball, for your terrific analysis for all the teams. He did all 30 teams. Each of the individual hosts did their show. But do you know what? Scott Cullen had thoughts for all 30 teams. Way to go, Scott. Follow his show at Locked On Fantasy Baseball. Also follow Ryan Latica of Locked On Rockies, Miller Jane Thomas of Locked On Diamondbacks, Ben Kasvick of Locked On Giants, Javier Reyes of Locked On Padres, and Jeff Snyder of Locked On Dodgers. Well, we're going to play ball in about 24 hours. I've got a couple of things that are going to post on Sully Baseball on Twitter just before the opening of the season, so check that out too. On the final day of March, this has been Locked On MLB. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.